You are listening to the Sunnybrook Unscripted podcast, where we talk real life, answer questions, and take a deeper practical look at the topics we talk about on a Sunday morning. To learn more about Sunnybrook Church, including our Sunday gathering times and opportunities throughout the week, visit us online at sunnybrookchurch.org. Today, we are talking with Pastor Jeff Mose.
Well, welcome or welcome back to the Sunnybrook Unscripted podcast. I am Lydia Miller here with my dad, Pastor Jeff, and being joined again by my mother, Beth. If you missed last week, she joined us to start a podcast that goes along with our marriage series. We're kind of peeling back the curtain of Pastor Jeff's marriage. And we've got the gal who knows him best on a hot mic today. So he is nervous as all get out.
I am sweating.
Yeah. So last time we talked, just tried to give you a little background on their relationship and marriage in those early years. And we're just going to kind of dive in where we left off. Because you guys were doing ministry together far away from family in Pennsylvania, mm-hmm. of all places. Mm-hmm. And it is there that you started your family with my sister, Abigail. Mm-hmm. Talk to us about what it was like to become parents. I remember vividly the transition for Trent and I from going to just kind of a carefree married couple to parents. Mm-hmm. And it just brings out a whole new different aspect of your relationship and of one another. So let's talk about, because you got four kids, so you did it four different times. What was it like to have kids?
Well, we were in youth ministry when we had Abby, and we knew we were going to be going to seminary at some point, which is what we did 7 months pregnant with you. We moved to Mississippi. And I think the biggest transition, especially from youth ministry into seminary, into the church again, is navigating the time factor of that. Mm-hmm. Before, I was readily available to go alongside him on all of the different activities with the youth. And now all of a sudden, I'm being left behind, which I didn't like, and figuring out, okay, what does this look like moving forward, and how do we protect our family time and protect what we need to do at home and not let the church pull dad away all the time and guard that time without getting into too many conflicts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you were really good about that, huh? You really were good of saying, hey, you need to be home. We tried to structure things as best we could. It was for me, and I know for you too, but it was my greatest desire was to be a dad. More than I wanted to be a pastor, more than I wanted to be a professional baseball player or football. I always wanted to be. So adding kids to our lives was sort of the zenith. You know, we had spent 4 years together in marriage, which I thought allowed us to figure each other out, lay a good foundation. And then in God's providence, Abby came along. And for us, it was a time of tremendous joy to have children. Mm-hmm. You were closely followed, Lyd, and carrying one of you in each arm was just, for me, was kind of the highlight of life. And so as much as ministry was demanding, we just decided, hey, listen, this is what's most important. Mm-hmm. If I stink as a youth pastor and ministry in general, this is going to be who we are, both our marriage and our family, and we're going to do everything we can to protect that. And Mom was real good of saying, hey, you know, we're going to have dinner together every night. You're going to be home every night. If there's evening meetings, they can move to the early morning. So we tried to structure as best we could to say, not only are we concerned about our family, but we want to model that to other people, especially in youth ministry. You see a lot of unhealthy families, and we wanted the best we could. And we had some really godly people that modeled it for us, that mentored us in parenting. That was very helpful, but it really was one of the greatest joys for us.
Well, and I think, And I'm sure you remember this, we guarded Monday tenaciously. That was his day off, which is an odd day to have off. And it was difficult as the kids got older with school schedules, but you would take them to McDonald's every morning for breakfast. We just found a way to find our own traditions with our weird schedule. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think we made some fun family traditions, and we always had to kind of reevaluate. We couldn't hold on to the tradition too strongly because something in ministry would demand that that wouldn't be possible anymore. So we would adjust it and change it, whether it's around the holidays or otherwise. But your dad did a good job, too, of protecting that time and just, nope, not going to do it. So
And you guys made, now obviously I work, I'm here right now, but you guys made the decision as you were raising us that you would actually stay home, which was, mm-hmm. you were a teacher, but once you started having kids, you guys really made a very conscious life decision to kind of adjust mm-hmm. how you were doing things so that you could be home full time.
Yes. And I think it freed him up when he did go to ministry knowing the home was taken care of. And mm-hmm. Jeff, he's always been very good about including me mm-hmm. in the ministry. When he talks about ministry, he'll say we. And it's like, well, I wasn't there. But he saw me as a partner in that by making him more available to be able to go. And yeah, it was we had one car. We had to strategize if I needed the car to load the kids and take them to work. And so there were sacrifices, but looking back on it, they weren't sacrifices. I would do it that way again in a heartbeat.
Yeah, and everybody's got to make their own individual choice on that. But it was a little mm-hmm. different, mm-hmm. you know, when we were young. There were a lot of stay-at-home moms, which, mm-hmm. you know, we didn't have the financial demands that you guys have of cell phone and cable bills. And it was just a much simpler life at that point in time. And mm-hmm. we were just committed to that. We just said, listen, we're not going to live in a great house. We're not going to drive a brand new car. We're going to just make some sacrifices. You're right. We only had one car, those kinds of things. And then usually a parsonage was mm-hmm. provided when we first started out in ministry. So we were able to live very simply, but then to have mom have the time at home was very helpful in ministry. I'm sure it's helpful in any life, but to know that she was there and caring for you guys and then I could come in and out and do ministry without the fear of that was very helpful for me. It caused a calm in me in ministry that allowed us to really have a good base at home.
Mm-hmm. Now, you guys managed to do something that I think is the goal of every Christian parent, mm-hmm. and even more difficult to do as a pastor, is you raised four kids who still love Jesus and love the church. How? Mm. For every parent who desperately wants that for their kids, mm-hmm. how?
God's grace, first of all. But I think, I've been thinking a lot about this. It's like, how did we... You know, I'm so thankful that all four of you pursue a relationship with Jesus to this day. And I think, I'm losing my train of thought, but there were a couple of things. One, Dad was very good about never, ever, I can't remember one time that he made a demand on you kids to behave a certain way because of his job at the church. We had family values. We had what we called family identity as a Mo's. This is how you, as a Christian, because we believe in Jesus, this is how you act. This is how you treat others. And then alongside that, we've always been in churches that just made a dynamic place for children and youth that you wanted to be there. Mm-hmm. I can remember Simeon not cleaning his room, and I actually could threaten him and said, if your room's not clean, you don't get to go to youth group tonight. Mm-hmm. He was mortified that he might not be able to go. And the church has done such a good job in having people pour into you, the other men and women that have poured into you to develop your relationship, that it became a place of growing, a place of friendships, a place of service opportunities, adventures, and just... We really have, you know, we had a standard. You were going to go, mm-hmm. you know, and I'm not saying that it wasn't a challenge at times, but we tied that into our family identity and who we were as Christians. And
mm-hmm. yeah, and I want to just hit on what you said. First of all, it's the grace of God, because I would not want anybody mm-hmm. to think is, hey, because you didn't do it right, your kids mm-hmm. turned out this mm-hmm. way, and we did it right. It's the grace. I've seen tons of family who've done it better than we have, and their kids still walked away from the Lord and walked away from the church. So there is not a one-to-one correlation. It is by the grace of God you four kids are still following after the Lord. But I do think we put in some practice some things that were good. I think not demanding, not putting the church ever in a negative light. We always wanted you, much as you love mm-hmm. Jesus, to love the church as well. Certainly we had family devotions every night. We'd pray with you guys before I went to bed. We read Bible stories, you know, things typical parents do. Mm-hmm. But the one thing I thought your mom did really well is we set up Friday nights to be family night. So as strange as this sounds in today's world, you know, you could go out afterwards, you could go out before, but there was a time, maybe 6 to 8, where we were going to have dinner together. There was a bit of a devotional component to it, but it was more fun than anything else. And we were going to do things together as a family. And as much as I love the fact that you love the Lord and love the church, I love the fact that you love each other. And I think you did a good job of sort of bringing them together in that.
I knew someone was going to be emotional. I was wondering who it was going to be.
I'm staying strong.
I will say, though, I do think it was, I mean, we had, I joke about it, but I'm serious. We had weird pastor kids rules is what I call them. We were not allowed to have TVs in our bedroom. We didn't have computers in our bedroom. And although some of that is for some safety stuff, I'm sure. Another component of it was you forced us to be friends with each other. We were only allowed in the summer to go out so many nights a week, and so we'd arrange our schedules around each other so that we could be home with our siblings. And now to this day, it's the greatest blessing. As adult children, my favorite people to be around are my siblings and you guys. And my favorite thing to go to is Thanksgiving or Christmas when we have it all together. And I think that's a huge testament in, I know we fought you on a Friday night family night. If you think high school Lydia didn't argue that just about every time, you are wrong. But you forced it on us, and we eventually found the beauty and the value in it as well.
Yeah, we tried not. We tried not to be legalistic about it. We tried not to say, well, this is how a church family should be, or this. We tried to make it fun enough that you desired to be a part of that. And that's not easy. And there's sometimes that wasn't true. But I think sometimes parents, especially Christian parents, can be so legalistic in things that you don't give the reason why, or it's not enjoyable. And then it just becomes this. And I always appreciated how you guys responded. Here's why we do what we do. We don't do it because you're pastor kid. We do it because this is who Moses are. This is our value. This is what we hold to. And then we tried to do it in a spirit of joy where we had fun together.
I think as a child or product of that, one of the things that sold me on it was I never saw you teaching me something that I didn't see you also living out. Or when you didn't live out, correct, apologize. It didn't become this, I'm this guy or this girl in front of the church or in front of other people, and then I'm a different kind of parent. The person I saw on stage Sunday morning or who I experienced in the world was the same person I saw at home. And so it gave great integrity to what you were trying to teach us and what you were trying to say.
Yeah, that's good to hear. And there were times we screwed up. I think it's the one thing, you know, we loved growing kids God's way because for us, you know, you're giving these children the greatest responsibility. You have no idea what you're doing. So it was just good to have something that we could study together, walk through together. And we'd often come and say, you know what, we blew it. We lost our temper. We did this wrong. And would you forgive us? I think that relational component of not just I'm sorry, bumped into you and I'm sorry, but will you forgive me? Because I'm sure this wounded you, I think was a good thing for us as a family.
Yeah. As we close today, I want to ask you each a very pointed question. I want you each to answer it because only you are the one who's going to be able to answer it. Mom, I'll start with you.
Oh boy.
What is one thing that you wish people knew about Pastor Jeff?
That, you know, there was some, I think more and more as he's more and more comfortable where he's at, you see more of the humor side of him. And there's a lot of people that don't get that opportunity, I think, because he is a little protected. But I probably shouldn't say it out loud, but he's a funny guy. He's a lot of fun. And there's sometimes I think, gosh, I wish more people could see that side of him. And we know kind of what a blessing it is that, you know, we have that.
What's one thing you wish people understood about his job?
I think when people approach him, they're in their own world and think that they are kind of in isolation and they don't realize all the other things that are pulling and demanding of him because they just know their pain or their reason that they need to connect with him and they are unaware of everything that goes beyond that. And there's just an emotional tank that gets emptied again and again and again, and just it takes time to refill that tank. Yep.
All right. What is one thing you wish people knew about mom?
There's going to be a ton of things, and I'll try to not get too emotional again here. Obviously, my best friend, I think she knows more about ministry than people realize. I think she's been much the catalyst, everything we've done in terms of ministry. She's been a part of it, bounced off her. I think the one thing I'd get people under is how hard, shoot, her role is. I just think playing second fiddle, you know, when you go to a new place and you're the guy, but she has to sort of let go of all roots and friendships and start over. She's just been very good at that.
Well,
do you have anything to say?
I think I wish people, if I could answer as a daughter, what I wish people could see about the two of you is how much you love Jesus, how much you love the church, and both the blessing and the sacrifice that comes with that. That being a senior pastor and the wife of a senior pastor is a joyful burden. Yes, mm-hmm. it is joyful, and yes, mm-hmm. it is full of blessing. But there is a sacrifice. You both have given up normal weekends mm-hmm. from now until the end of time. You mm-hmm. both have given up any sort of, I guess, privacy or normal life. And the life that you've lived is one of great example, but it's also one of great sacrifice. And so I think, if anything, I think people probably recognize yours, Dad. But there's a great blessing that happened, or a great sacrifice that happens on your side as well, Mom. And I hope people understand what comes with that. So thank you both for joining us today. We made it through, mostly.
Barely.
But thank you for being here, and thank you for being honest and answering the questions. And hopefully it is a blessing and an encouragement to those who heard it. Thank you for tuning in and joining us. Hopefully this marriage series has been good and has given you some practical things to follow along with marriage so you too can reach 40 years of marriage. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
If you were encouraged by today's talk, be sure to rate us and hit subscribe on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you stream your podcast. To experience other talks, videos, and live gatherings, visit us online at sunnybrookchurch.org or download the Sunnybrook Church app. And again, thanks for listening to the Sunnybrook Community Church podcast.